I'm Rebecca Blewett, and I just want to begin this podcast by giving a little bit of contact information. I'll put it in at the end, and I'll try to include it in the tags if I can. I'm not a tech-savvy person when it comes to all this sort of thing, but I'm going to give it a try. My husband and I run a company called Valleys Wordworks. We're located in Wales, near Cardiff. You can reach us. Our website is www.valleys-wordworks.co.uk. Email for the purposes of Top Braille would be top-braille, top-braille at valleys-wordworks.co.uk. And in the UK, country code 44 or 01443834708, but do remember there's a time difference. Anyway, now I'm going to start on the official podcast. This is a podcast for the Top Braille, a new device that's quite recently been released to the market in the UK and in Europe, well, and in North America too, come to think of it. Just since September 2010 has it been available in Europe, and I believe since January in other places, certainly including the UK. And my name is Rebecca Blewett, and our company is called Valleys Wordworks, and we're the distributor for the UK and Ireland for the Top Braille. And it's quite an amazing device, so I'm going to illustrate it a little bit right now. I'm using Audio Hijack Pro to do this podcast, but I'm not a person who has ever done a podcast, so bear with me. The recording quality probably won't be what people are used to finding in technologically advanced podcast recorders. Anyway, I'll describe a little bit about what the Top Braille looks like. Well, it's a device that you move it across a printed page and it brings up the text in Braille immediately under your finger. So it's like nothing else that's on the market at the moment. It would remind one a little bit of the Opticon, and I'll probably be making various comparisons to the Opticon throughout this podcast, because people were very sad when the Opticon was discontinued. Many people were very sad when the Opticon was discontinued. And yet we all could see that there are certain things that the developers could have done that would have made the Opticon just much more ergonomic, I think. And Top Braille has taken some of those things and incorporated them into a 21st century reading device. So, it is about the size of, if anybody remembers the Voila, you know, that barcode reader thing that was developed a few years ago. It's sort of the shape of a computer mouse or a stapler, and it's about that size, about the size of an office stapler. Much more comfortable to hold, though. It's nice curved edges and things. It's about, well, somewhere between the size of a stapler and a smartphone. And it has a Braille cell on the top, kind of toward the, what I would call the, you know, sort of the wand end, where you expect the action to happen, as it were. Close to the front of the Top Braille, if you have it positioned on a page, just like with a stapler, you know, where the staples come out. Okay, that's what we're calling the front on this in this case. And the back will then be, you know, toward the palm of my hand as I'm holding the Top Braille on the piece of paper. So, on the top of the Top Braille toward the front, there is a Braille cell, which has six dots and two navigational dots, one above and one below. And then on the bottom, there's a squarish kind of a camera that reads the text and interprets it. So, several things about the Top Braille before I demonstrate how to read with it. There are buttons along the edges, so along the sides of the device, not on the top where the Braille cell is and not on the bottom where the camera is, but on the left side of the device there are three little buttons that you might think of as being comparable to dots 1, 2, and 3 in Braille. And on the right side of the device, on the side edge, there are two more buttons that might be comparable to dots 4 and 5, but we'll call them A, B, C, D, and E, just to make things really complicated. Okay, so the buttons, the three on the left, function for the most part as a power button, Oh, I've just turned it off because I had it on function braille. I've turned off the top braille. When you turn on and off the top braille, there are some physical indications, and probably there's a light too if you can see. You have to sort of pick it up, I think, and look at it. But anyway, for those of us who can't, when you turn on the device, you'll hear some beeps, and you'll also hear the sound of a braille cell popping up, I think, and then it will say function braille and audio. Okay, now it's on text right now. I'm going to switch it to function braille just for a minute to just describe it a little bit more. There are two ways of determining whether you're reading, whether you've got the top braille positioned on the line correctly or not. And they are through audio feedback and through tactile feedback. So the top braille, as I said, it's got two navigational dots, one below and one above the cell. Let's call the dot above the cell 0. It's kind of centrally located between dots 1 and 4, so we'll call it dot 0. And the dot below the cell, which is centrally located between dots 3 and 6, are you with me, is dot 7. Okay. So when you're reading text and you have speech turned off, which is how I like to do things typically if I can, those navigational dots will come into play. I'm moving the camera right now to find the topmost line of text, and the camera can tell that there's text below where I've got the top braille at the moment. So the bottom dot, the dot 7, is coming up solidly to indicate that I have to move the device down to reach the line of text. So that's what I'm doing. Here we are. Find the answer to some of his questions. I'm just opened randomly. Oh, sorry, it's a book. It's Philip Pullman's The Subtle Knife, and I'm reading it with the top braille, and so I've just opened it to the page where I am. I'm not too far from the beginning of the book. But the men came. I'm tracking back to the beginning of the line, which people who are learning braille, people who learn to read with the opticon, and people who learn to read with this find that that's the most difficult. Because the print lines, of course, are so close together that if you go off track just a little bit, you'll find yourself either on the line you were previously or two lines down. The men came back soon. End of paragraph. And now he had killed one of them. End of paragraph. Little short lines. So, now the police would be after him too. Okay, so that's just a few sentences with the top braille. And as I was reading, if I went off the line slightly, I had dot 0 popping up solidly and dot 7 popping up solidly if I went too far below or above the line where I should be. Two other navigational dots I need to point out. Same two, actually, just doing something slightly different. If I should slant the camera too far to the right as I'm reading, and so the letter is not entirely in focus, slant it too far to the right, or too far clockwise, the dot 0 is going to, I'm sorry, dot 7 is going to come up to indicate that it's too, I need to tilt it a little bit up more, tilt it to the left a little bit more. Dot 7 is coming up, kind of blinking. And if I tilt the top braille too far to the left as I'm reading, which can happen, you know, you don't even have to tilt it that far, dot 0 is coming up, blinking, to let me know that I'm off kilter, and I need to tilt it, straighten it out, straighten the camera a little bit on the line. So between the four of those, you just have to pay attention whether the dot 0 or dot 7 are solid or whether they're blinking, and that'll basically keep you on track. But now I'll turn back the sound, because it can be a little overwhelming when somebody picks up the top braille and starts to read. It's one of these devices that you really do need some training. You can't, if you just unpack it out of the box, thinking you're going to, you know, be reading Moby Dick or War and Peace within 10 minutes. Well, you may be, but it's less often that happens. You need a little orientation. So here we are. This is the orientation.
Function Braille and audio.
And it's free. All right. So I've turned it back on with the sound, using the .5 button. Incidentally, you know how I said there were three buttons down the left and two buttons down the right side of the top rail. Well, the button closest to me of that configuration on the right-hand side, the .5 button or the E button, is the submenu. So it toggles in the function Braille and audio mode. It toggles between simply having Braille output
and
having Braille and speech output with all the navigational sounds. Okay, so now we're turning back on the navigational sounds. I'm above the top margin of the text, and I'm moving the top Braille down until I find a line. And that sound indicates that it's telling me I need to move farther down. And as we remember, the .7 is solidly up under my finger. So I've got .7, the dot below the cell, and I also have that low note, which I think is a C. Am I right? Those of you who have perfect pitch, you can tell me whether it's almost a C. That'll drive people crazy. Okay. I don't have perfect pitch, so I don't have to worry. I just know that I turn off the sounds as often as I can. All right, so here we are. We're back to find.
F-I-N-T-T.
That's the space in between the words. Oh, see, it's doing that. Let me oblige. Okay, so just when I went to read the word his, I obviously moved my hand down a fraction of a millimeter, and it said, wait, you're too far down, move up. So this sound corresponds to .0 solidly above my finger, and it's saying move up, which again is a little bit counterintuitive if you're used to the opticon, because when you'd move the camera along a line of text, and you would feel a little bit of text above your finger, the instinct was to move it down, of course. But in this case, the up dot means move up, so that's what I did. And I think that corresponds to, maybe it's a G, I don't know. Anyway, if that's a C, that's a G. All right, yeah, I guess it is. Okay, so here's the word his. Now, in a second, I'm going to start tracking back to the beginning of the line. You'll see where the sounds come in quite useful. Okay, that indicates I'm just at the end of the line. And as far as the top Braille was concerned, I'm tilting the device just a slight bit to the right. I didn't think I was, but anyway, it thought I was. So I've just moved back and put it on the E so that it knows where it is. Okay, so I'm going to track back to the beginning of the line, and you'll hear some indications of the sounds. And this is one instance where if anybody's going to turn the sound back on, this would be where to do it, because of course it's going to be 100 times easier with some feedback. Okay, I'm back at the beginning of the line, and it's saying move up, because I'm moving down, and it wants me to go back where there's text, and now it's found the text below with that sound. And here I am on my next line. The men came back soon. Okay, and now of course it's finished reading that paragraph. It can tell that there's text below on the next line, and it really wants me to find it. Here I am. And now, oops, I've obviously moved down just too. And now he killed one of them. End of paragraph, and of course it can tell that there's text on the line below, so it wants me to find it. Okay, and you can hear that sound. That means that it thinks I've tilted it too far to the left. Okay, let's see if I can duplicate that. Well, that means I need to move up. And now I need to move down. Okay. See if I can make it duplicate that sound. Nope. See, I'm so close to the margin that I can't. Let me move it. Okay, we'll put it on the P of police, and I'll see if I can tilt it to the left and show you. Oh, there it is. Boy, when you try to make a mistake, you can't. I don't usually have to try. Anyway, that which I suppose simulates an A. I think it's a bit of a between a G sharp and an A. Is the indication that I've moved the thing, I've tilted it too far to the left, and of course, as we might remember, the dot zero is coming up under my finger, blinking. If I tilt it too far to the right, dot seven is blinking, and I'm getting that low, A. Okay, so. Oh, and this illustrates something else. I've been sort of dithering over the letter L, trying to make it do different things, and of course it can't decide whether it's an L or a T. And there's an I beside it, of course, but the more I sort of dither over that particular letter, it's going to try and interpret it, but it won't necessarily know that I'm staying, you know, on the same letter. It won't just say, it's an L! I've been saying it's an L for 5 minutes. It's going to say, okay, maybe it's a T, maybe it's an I, maybe I got it wrong. And it's just going to keep as it would, right? So that's one reason why you need to have a pretty steady hand when you're reading with this thing. And that takes practice, I have to say. It really takes practice, especially when you start reading tins of food with it. The top braille will read round surfaces, but you really need a steady hand to do that. And, you know, if you want to open the right tin of food, I guess you're motivated enough to do that. So here we are. End of paragraph. I'll just move back to the beginning. Well. I missed a line, I think. He's good at not being noticed. Let's see. Go back up to where I was. I thought it was the end of the... Have to not be... Noticed. Have to not be noticed harder. And heed... ever done in his life before. And keep it up as till either his father or they or they found him. And if they found him first, he didn't dare. Oh, he didn't care how many. How many more than he killed? Goodness sakes, he's 12 years old and he's thinking like that. Anyway, that's a little bit of the overview of the main function of the top braille. The top braille costs £1,590. It includes training and support. We can do it through Skype, but we can also do it locally. It would be not so hard to do it via Skype. If you have the patience, we have the patience. Anyway, training and support is included to a degree, you know. I don't think within reason anybody's going to take 30 hours of needing support. Eventually you just kind of say, well, I guess I need to just practice it and apply it to my daily life and you know, you work it out yourself. But we certainly will provide a few hours of training and support along with this. Okay, I just want to go through the other functions of the top braille briefly, because it does have some other good, quite innovative attributes, really. One thing it has is a learning function, which...
Color identification.
I'll get to that.
Text reading function.
I'll get to that, too.
Learning function.
There we are. So it's going through the letters of the alphabet, and it will also... tell you the numbers, which is quite useful, given the fact that the top braille has one braille cell. So numbers become a little problematic if you want a number sign followed by a number. With the top braille, it will show you either Nemeth numbers, not Nemeth code. I you know, don't want you to think that all the punctuation turns into sort of Nemeth code punctuation, but certainly the dropped, you know, dropped numbers. Which, with one braille cell, there may be those who say, oh gosh, you know, I might mix up a 0 and a J or something. In which case, you could have computer braille numbers, which you would never mix up a 0 and a J because they're completely different symbols. They each have an ASCII, is it an ASCII? Yeah, an ASCII character associated with them, and so you're never going to mix them up. Well, you might, because you're not a computer. But theoretically, they're going to be completely different on the top braille. So that a number 1 is dots 1-6, and a number 2 is dots 1-2-6, etc. And a 0 is dots 3-4-5-6. 0 should be 2-4-5-6, but that would be a W, wouldn't it? So anyway, that's the deal. And of course, the navigational dots already have functions, so you can't really include those unless you put both of them, perhaps, to indicate a number. Anyway, there's probably more that can be done with those navigational dots, but we'll just have to see what happens in future innovations of the top braille. So the learning function was developed for this device because, obviously, even though there are plenty of people who should be using braille, not everybody's completely comfortable with braille as a means of reading. And I mean by should be using braille, if you can't read print, and really you need the magnification so strong that reading print becomes prohibitive, you know, from the perspective of a rehab teacher, somebody, you got to have a reading, a means of reading, and audio is good, but it's good if you can back it up with something. So they put the learning function in the top braille because they recognized that somebody might say, well, in theory, I mean, I should be able to read braille, I'm not that good at it, but let me have a learning function where I can just go through the letters and make sure I know the ones that I don't have. The other added bonus, of course, is that an added bonus. A bonus is always added, right? The other bonus is that the top braille, of course, you can speak. It can speak, so if you're not sure what letter you're touching, well, it always has the audio output. So anyway, that's the learning function. The next color identification function is a lot of fun too, because though you wouldn't purchase a color identifier for 1,500 quid, you might purchase a device like the top braille that has a color identifier in it for 1,500 quid, because if you've got that camera on the bottom of the device, you may as well use it for other things besides reading text, and what better to use it for than a color identifier. So I'm just going to put it on this blouse that I'm wearing and see if it tells the color correctly.
Gray dark.
It says it's gray dark. Let's see. And it spells it in braille as well. You see, there's other colors on this. Let me see.
Blue, purple, dark.
Yes. So it thinks it's blue, purple, dark, which to me indicates that maybe it's just a nice deep shade of blue. Or maybe it's blue, purple, for all I know. As opposed to deep purple. Okay, the embroidery on the skirt is obviously kind of a black or a dark gray.
Blue, purple, dark.
And the denim is a dark blue. Blue, purple, dark. Okay, so as I was saying, it spells it in braille as well. And this is one quite a rare device on the market that
text reading.
Is quite good for somebody who has hearing loss as well. There aren't that many devices, especially with the emphasis on audio these days, that do that could work for a deaf-blind person, but this one could. Then there's the text reading function. Oh, I just want to say sort of a funny thing about the color identifier. You kind of know about the identifying colors of clothes and everything, that sort of, everybody thinks of that, but I've never had a color identifier till I got the top braille, and I wasn't prepared for all the other sort of fun applications it can have. Like, we had some tourists visiting us from Israel a couple of months ago, and they brought us some spices fresh from the Jerusalem market, which is great. And once you put them all in a, they're all in sort of nondescript little plastic bags, and they're all in a box together, so it's pretty hard to identify them by smell, necessarily. So I was looking for saffron one day, and just put the color identifier, put the camera for the top rail against the bags of spices, and was able to find the one that was saffron, because it was yellow. So that was kind of fun. Or something like, you know, when it's an early morning and it's a wheelie bin day and I'm not sure which wheelie bin it is and I don't necessarily want to go and bother my husband, I can go out and put the top rail on the top of the neighbor's wheelie bin out in the street and find out whether it's a recycling day, brown one, or whether it's a rubbish day, green. That works in the UK. It may not work in other places, but it certainly does work here. Anyhow, I mean, the applications are about as endless as you could imagine. I'm sure that, you know, it even works for things like electrical wires and stuff, but I'm no electrician and I'm not going to endorse that particular use of the color identifier. You know, health and safety, etc., etc. Live in the UK. Big on health and safety over here. Anyway, the last function of the top rail I want to talk about is the text reading function. And that, again, is a logical extension of the fact that there is a bit of memory in this thing, and so you can attach it to a PC. I've tried it on the Mac and it doesn't work, so I think it's one of those PC sort of specific devices. Although if you have Bootcamp or Fusion, VMware Fusion, on your Windows PC, you could always, I mean on the, sorry, bite my tongue, on the Mac, you could always put the software that comes with the top rail onto the Windows side and load it from there, if you wanted to do that. So anyway, you attach it with a USB client cable and to a USB port on your PC, and then a little window which says Top Rail Services comes up, and you can copy and paste documents from your computer onto the Top Rail Services window, which then stores them in the Top Rail. At present, the Top Rail cannot, you can't plug it in and use it as a secondary, you know, disk drive, where you'd simply copy and paste documents directly from my computer or Windows Explorer into the Top Rail. You have to open it up, select, copy and paste. But it has a fair bit of memory, so you could probably, I mean, if you really wanted to, you could copy the entire, you know, first volume of Les Misérables or something in. And that's, you know, where I could see this being quite useful, especially if you're reading something in a foreign language or reading some fairly detailed material, maybe a chess book, for example. It may be good to have the Braille under your fingers so that you can peruse it, you know, when you have time. Whereas if you don't have a Braille display on your computer, or you don't have a print book that you can put under the top Braille and read it like that, you want to have it in Braille, maybe the only way that you can do that is with the top Braille text reading function. So that about wraps it up for the Top Braille podcast. I've enjoyed recording it, learned a little bit about Amadeus Pro and Audio Hijack Pro in the process, which has been quite fun. Look forward to learning more. thanks also to Dane Trethewen for his help. It just suffices now to give a little bit of contact information. Website, www.valleys-wordworks.co.uk. So that would be valleys-wordworks.co.uk. Email top-braille@valleys-wordworks.co.uk, top-braille at values-wordworks.co.uk. Phone number, you can reach us in the UK on 01443-834-708, but do remember that there is a time difference. Otherwise, we'll be happy. I'm also available on Skype, and if somebody were to purchase a top braille far away, then we'd do the training on Skype, which would not be unmanageable. However, finding my personal Skype account might be unmanageable My username is Amrio the Viajelog, so you might find it easier just to search for Rebecca Blavoet, Blaevoet, or Rebecca Redmile. Hope to be recording another podcast soon, and in the meantime, enjoy.